my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, Kevin Huntsberger here with episode 269 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. And this week's episode, I tweaked things a while back and was going to kind of designate the second Monday of every month as kind of a segment called The Interview. And I had plans for this week's episode, but as things go in life, plans change. And so that is what is happening. And that is why you're basically getting a best, I don't want to say best of, because these interviews have never aired here on the podcast before, but they are interviews that I conducted almost 22 years ago this month. The backstory here is Thunder, Thursday Night Thunder. It debuted in January of 1998. Of course, it was a WCW venture, and Conrad Thompson and Eric Bischoff talk much more about that on the 83 Weeks podcast. Well, long story short, Thunder was coming to Huntsville, Alabama. I was working as a television reporter slash news anchor in a small town called Florence, Alabama, about an hour away from Huntsville. And so as we saw that the Von Braun Civic Center was going to be hosting Thursday Night Thunder, I decided to reach out and see if I could do any interviews. And I got to tell you, I journalistically hit the jackpot as far as my wrestling fandom and having the opportunity, because they said yes, much to my surprise. Brian Barnett, who is still a friend of mine, and I hope Brian's listening to this, because he really is kind of the unsung hero of this series of interviews that I got to do. I am very thankful and grateful that Brian was there, because he was a great cameraman and a huge wrestling fan himself. And this could have been an opportunity, and perhaps in hindsight, and Brian, some 22 years later, I'm apologizing to you for this publicly, probably should have let him do some of these interviews as well, but I kind of hogged the glory and hogged the spotlight, and with the benefit of hindsight, and you know, I'm now much older and much wiser, I think, than I was back then. And I wish now that I would have, if not done, let him do some of the interviews, at least done some photo ops for him to get some pictures taken with these guys. But this was in an era when there were no cell phones, there were cell phones, but there were no smartphones, there were no camera phones. So the pictures that I was able to procure for my blogs and stuff years later, I just screen grabbed from the VHS that I made of these interviews, because this was, again, 1998. It was small market USA as far as television goes, and the quality of cameras was not anything terribly exciting and whatnot. So, Brian, shout out to you, my friend. I appreciate what you did and the work that you did back then. And again, I know it doesn't do anything now, but I wish in hindsight I would have shared a little bit more of that, because it truly was, at least meeting Bobby the Brain Heenan was one of the biggest, greatest wrestling encounters that I've had. Bobby Heenan is in my top five of all-time favorites. And certainly, if you look at overall character or person in wrestling, in the wrestling business, would definitely be on my Mount Rushmore in those terms as well. So I loved The Brain and getting to talk to him and just briefly. And again, I was a 24-year-old young reporter, first job, and greener than goose shit, as they say. And it comes through, trust me. And these were quick little interviews. I think the whole segment you're going to listen to in a little bit is probably less than 10 minutes long, but I am grateful for the opportunity. Quick footnote, Bill Goldberg was part of the interviews as well, and for some reason, that interview did not get saved. And this was right before Bill Goldberg became a huge thing. It was before he was Goldberg, really. He was still Bill Goldberg. The streak was going on, but he was not nearly as big as he would obviously become less than 6 months later when he beat Hulk Hogan for the WCW Heavyweight Championship. But kind of the reason why I'm also going back to this period of time, Thunder was always kind of considered the B show to Monday Nitro. And I had never attended a Monday Nitro before, but getting a chance to see the Thunder live, and this was really one of the very few WCW events that I attended. I attended Starrcade 90 back when I was a senior in high school. And since we're coming up on the 30-year anniversary of this later this year, I'll do a deeper dive into that, and I may actually try to convince the guy that I went with, who is not really much of a wrestling fan anymore, but I may try to talk him into actually doing that podcast with me. But, again, digressing. Over the weekend, Friday night specifically, I drove the 2 hours to Evansville, Indiana, to watch my very first SmackDown live in person. I'd never been to a SmackDown before, which I was thinking back, and I'm like, I've been to 9 WrestleManias, I've been to the Royal Rumble, I've been to several Monday Night Raws, but I've never been to a SmackDown before. So it was a fun opportunity. I went with Jay Spade from Stride Pro Wrestling, and we were there to support or potentially support some friends of ours. I'm not going to go into the details of that yet because I don't know how much they want out there, but we'll talk more in future episodes, I can promise you that, about those opportunities and whatnot. But I don't want to let any cats out of any bags just yet, but more details will be coming as to why we were in Evansville and who we were there specifically to support. Overall, it was a decent show. You know, 2 hours go by pretty quickly. Obviously much more so than on a Monday Night Raw. And then they recorded 205, or actually not recorded, 205 Live was live right after. We did not stay the entire night, because as I mentioned, it was a 2-hour drive. And so it was getting to be pretty late. So it was a fun night. I got a chance to talk with Jay Spade 2 hours there, 2 hours back, and kind of talk about wrestling, and you know, I don't get to spend a whole lot of time talking to guys in the Stride Pro Wrestling locker room, so it was fun opportunity to do that as well. And I actually had talked about and planned on and potentially recording a podcast with him on the way back, but we talked about so many other things that it probably wasn't stuff that needs to be shared with the public, at least just not yet. So Spade and I will do a podcast together down the road, I can promise you that, and we'll talk some wrestling and dig deeper into his career and his life as part of the interview series here on the podcast. But speaking of Stride, lots of big things happening. As I'm recording this on Saturday night after the show, it was a huge night, lots of stuff going down, it was chaotic. The Stride Cup is underway. It was more of the Chaos Cup, though. But the big news is also that on Saturday, February 1st, we are going to be in West Frankfort. And then on February 22nd, also a Saturday night, we are going to be in Johnston City. So two big shows in February, fundraiser shows, big events. March is Strideiversary. It is going to be a big event, too. We're going to be in Harrisburg at the fairgrounds. So if you're a local fan, please come out, support local wrestling, support the podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, the PCPN, my buddy Chad Smart, who I am grateful for his friendship as well, grateful for Greg Mahochko to be a part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, our friends in Cape Girardeau with Podzilla 1985. Tom and Jim's Top 5 is back in full swing. The Skull Brothers are back at it. Even though they want announcer man to call them out on stuff, I'm not going to do it. I love you guys. Just support podcasting. Support the indie podcasters, if you will. I think it's important. And if you you know, are listening and want to get involved and support this podcast, of course, you can head over to prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents. Pick up a My123cents t-shirt. Or also check out, of course, the fun collar and elbow brand. Use the promo code My123cents and you will save 10% on your order. Again, this is going to be a short episode. Some will be happy with that. Some may be a little disappointed. However, I want you to enjoy the show, and we will talk again next week, where my special guest, we're going to wrestle under the influence. So I'm looking forward to that as well, and we'll talk more about the details and why this is going to be a fun episode next week. Be sure to stay tuned for that, though. And stay tuned in the meantime for Buff Bagwell, Ray Traylor, and the late, great Bobby the Brain Heenan. Friends, thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week. Stick around, though, for those interviews.
Hello, this is Greg Mahochko.
And Chad Smart.
And we are bringing you a new podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network.
It's a two-part podcast, which I think is interesting, but the first part is looking at different pop culture events through the eyes of different generations.
And on the opposite weeks, we'll be doing a segment called Not My Demographic, where we explore movies, music, pieces of pop culture that we wouldn't normally because, let's face it, they're not our demographic.
I've told Greg I'm limiting his talk time to 30 minutes.
Not just my talk time, Chad. The entire show is only 30 minutes. It's Greg and Chad's Power Half Hour, and it's coming soon to the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network.
It's nice to be home.
They don't realize that the power of television lies in the fans. They think the power of television is the NWO. That's not so. It's with the fans. And I like being able to say that. I like being able to say, hey, little kid, I love being around you. They don't do that. They just try to run over everybody. And I'm not worked that way, and that's why I left them.
Rick and Scott Steiner, are you going to continue teaming with them?
I'm out here watching their back tonight. I'm not actually scheduled for a match, but I'm out here watching their back. Anything can happen.
All right. Wrestling and of Bobby Heenan, I've watched you for years. Probably the greatest manager in wrestling history. What do you, how do you make the transition from wrestler to manager now to commentator here at the WCW?
Well, I guess it's the same way Frank Gifford did it, or you know, a lot of the other guys. I broke my neck in 1983, and I just got out of the ring in 91, and I wrestled those years on and off. Mostly I managed. I was hurt, but I didn't have it done because I didn't want to take the time off. I didn't know it was that bad. I really didn't think I broke it. I thought I just pinched a nerve all those years, but that's one of the reasons I got out of it. But making the transition is easy because I knew the product. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I couldn't do hockey.
Right.
I couldn't call hockey because you can't read the names like an eye chart. But in wrestling, I know what's going on. I know the stars. I know the referees. I know the fans, what they like, what they don't like, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun to do.
Any advice to somebody like myself who is a big fan of the sport, and someday I would like to be up there commentating, calling a Monday Nitro, a Thursday Night Thunder? What could I do to maybe prepare myself for a career in wrestling broadcasting?
If you want to really prepare for wrestling broadcasting, you're not going to learn wrestling broadcasting doing baseball, hockey, or anything else. You're going to have to learn doing wrestling. Mm-hmm. So watch it at home on TV and do play-by-play while you're doing it. Then when you shave in the morning, do your openings, do your closers. You're seeing yourself in the mirror. But do the play-by-play, do color, do it smart-alecky if you want, do it straight if you want, do it all different ways. That's how you'll learn. All right. Because that's the only way I know how to do it.
Great. Thank you very much. Oh, I appreciate it. Okay, you went from Marcus Alexander Bagwell a couple years ago.
Look, Kevin,
now
just
you're
ask me the question. Do you see I'm the busy man here? Can't you see that you just can't have a body like this by just sitting around interviewing all day? Just ask me the question.
All right, Buff the Stuff. How did you become Buff?
Real simple. Does that answer your question? I mean, does that answer your question? What would you call yourself if you had a body like this?
I'd call myself.
Would you
myself
call yourself John or Frank, or would you say you're Buff? I mean, come on, look at that. That's the biggest arm in the world. Steiner ain't got nothing on me.
Who are you fighting tonight?
you know, I'm going to run down as many times as I can and beat up everybody I get a chance to beat up. That's what I'm going to do tonight.
All right, and the fans here in Huntsville, I don't know how they're going to react to you now that you're buff. What do you got to say about that?
It's really weird. It's sold out for one reason, because of the NWO. And they boo us, but they love us. And that's what I like. I'll look out, and they're booing us, but if you look really deep in their eye, you can see they think I am so cool. So it's like, I know they want to hate me, but then down deep, they just go going, you know what? That buff is a cool guy, you know? So they can hate me all they want. As long as they keep buying those tickets in the very top row and come and see that, then it's okay.
I think you're cool, so.
Okay, brother. That's all that matters.
Me. All right.
You know what? I'm buff, and I'm the stuff.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.